Hey folks, I'm NJ, the host of A Crime Most Queer. Join me every Thursday when I unpack true crime affecting the South African LGBTQ community. Each week, I take an in-depth look at some well-known and not-so-well-known cases, where we will explore the people involved, the circumstances that led up to the crime being committed, the police investigation, and the eventual trial, if there was one. I also look at some of the conspiracy theories that sprang up around the case and try to figure out if they actually hold water. A Crime Most Queer is available wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by the Slash and Cast Podcast Network. Learn more at slashandcast.net.
Welcome to Reverie True Crime. I'm your host, Paige, and today I'll be telling you the story of Jennifer Lauday. To start off this episode, I want to read to you a Mark Twain quote from the New York Herald on October 15, 1900. Quote, "I have seen that we do not intend to free, but to subjugate the people of the Philippines. We have gone to conquer, not to redeem, and so I am an anti-imperialist. I am opposed to having the American eagle put its talons on any other land." End quote. I also think it's important that we all know and understand the history between the U.S. and the Philippines, because what happened to Jennifer has only shown the characteristics of the blood-soaked past of American domination over the Philippine people. The U.S. and Spain made a deal that ended Spain's rule over the Philippines. It only brought on a new age of suppression to the native people. There was a battle between the Filipino people and the U.S. forces, but the U.S. had many more deadly weapons than the Filipinos had. Thousands of men, women, and children were brutally killed. Some passed away because they were starved to death, and others lost their lives to disease during the Imperial War of the early 20th century. The U.S. were raping the Filipino people, torching their villages, and waterboarding, which was newer at the time. There were concentration camps and the slaughtering of Filipinos at random. In 1902, U.S. President Theodore Roosevelt called this a race war in a speech at the Arlington Cemetery. He said this war was, quote, "the triumph of civilization over forces which stand for the black chaos of savagery and barbarism," end quote. The U.S. had been dehumanizing and brutalizing the Filipino people so much so that it was rooted in American methods and rules. In 1904, for example, at the St. Louis Fair, there were families from the Philippines that were put on display and called, quote, "monkey-like," by W.J. McGee, an anthropologist. White people thought it was just hilarious. You even had publications that were taken seriously, such as National Geographic, calling Filipino people uncivilized. These people were not at all treated like human beings, as we have seen time and time again with people of color in the past and the present. The Philippines finally thought they had gotten freedom, but it was only made to seem that way to them. They were still treated like crap, their ecosystem was trashed, and the U.S. military made sure to poison the area. Before the U.S. withdrew in 1993, the military spread raw sewage, pesticides, and chemicals for years and years. Pollution still causes diseases, premature deaths, and birth defects in the Philippines today. As we will see in this case, the U.S. military gets away with just about any crime they commit against Filipino people. They may get a slap on the wrist, but that's really about it. So without further ado, let's get into the case of Jennifer Lauday. Jennifer Lauday was born with the name Jeffrey. She was a Filipina transgender woman born on November the 4th, 1987. In 2014, she was a vibrant 26-year-old and had a fiancé who was a German national named Mark Susselbeck. They had met online and the rest was history. They were sporting their engagement rings and ready to tie the knot in Thailand. At least, that was the plan. Jennifer was described by a friend as joyful. She was not only gorgeous on the outside, but her soul radiated beauty. Jennifer was super confident about who she was as a person and her sexuality. Another word for beautiful is Gonda, and almost everyone who knew Jennifer called her that. Jennifer always fixed herself up stunningly with makeup and her outfits, but as her friends and family said, her beauty was not only on the outside. Jennifer's friend said, quote, "She was full of joy, she was selfless, and did not get on bad terms with anyone," end quote. Jennifer's sister reminisced about how Jennifer would always, no matter what, help out any of her loved ones who were going through problems that involved money. Anytime she saw someone struggling, she would never hesitate to help them in any way. Jennifer made the most money out of all of her family members, so she would always send her mom money to help her out with whatever she may have needed. She had a stunning personality. She was out and proud, and she loved who she was. Jennifer was never scared or thought that anyone would ever be cruel or physically aggressive to her just for being herself. Unfortunately, she was born into a world of insane realities that she couldn't control at all. As I said, Jennifer was Filipina, which is hard enough in a nation where the U.S. military is domineering, but being a transgender woman when the LGBTQ plus community is already enduring more and more violence globally, that makes things even harder. People should not have to live in fear because of their gender, sexuality, race, or anything else. But the fact of the matter is, even if you don't live in fear, which is brave and I respect that so much, you have to be cautious and aware that people are really cruel. Especially if you're a minority, because you are unfortunately more likely than myself to be a target for violence, and it's a difficult, sad, and unfair fact. Even if you choose not to live your life afraid, you can't trust that everyone is approaching you for reasons that are genuinely good all of the time. It's just so upsetting that it's how people need to look at others, but being trusting of someone right away, honestly, no matter who you are, as we have heard time and time again, it can really put you in a horrible situation. Trusting and more naive people are who abusers and killers gravitate towards because it makes their job a lot easier. It's sickening, but it's true. On October the 11th of 2014, Jennifer and her good friend Barbie were at the Ambiance Disco. This was a bar in Alangapo, which is in the Philippines. At this bar, Jennifer met an American man. This man was Lance Corporal Joseph Scott Pemberton, and he was a U.S. Marine, only 19 years old, from New Bedford, Massachusetts. So a Lance Corporal in the Marine Corps is the third enlisted rank and is equal to Private First Class in the Army. As a Lance Corporal, your duty is to exhibit a degree of leadership, skill, and you serve as a role model for the new recruits. He was also an anti-tank missile operative. Joseph was one of thousands of American and Philippine military personnel who took part and shared exercises in the country in 2014. Joseph, among other Marines, were on leave after these exercises. So Jennifer and Joseph struck up a conversation at the bar, and one thing led to the next. Witnesses and police claim that Joseph and Jennifer decided to go to a hotel just for a short time. Barbie also met up with someone, and they all went to this hotel together, but staying in different rooms. After they checked into the hotel, Joseph left about 30 minutes afterwards. He left the door to the hotel room slightly open. That Saturday night, sometime after midnight, October the 12th, people that worked at the hotel opened the door to Joseph and Jennifer's room to discover a grisly scene. The staff spotted Jennifer's nude, slouched body, only somewhat covered below her waist. Her neck was dark shades of black from being strangled, her body was brutally beaten, and her head was shoved into the toilet by some accounts, and some reports say her head was laying against the toilet bowl. There were three condoms in the restroom that were DNA tested to check if the semen in the condom was that of Joseph Pemberton's. One of these condoms that was discovered, along with a condom package, did have Joseph's fingerprints on them. This was found by forensic professionals from the U.S. Army Criminal Investigation Lab. However, the DNA inside of the condoms didn't have Jennifer's DNA in them. Jennifer's cause of death was determined to be asphyxiation by drowning. Joseph was taken into custody by the U.S. Navy. On December 15th of 2014, Alangapo City Prosecutor's Office of the Philippine Department of Justice found probable cause to charge Joseph Pemberton with murder. He was charged with murder in front of the Alangapo City Regional Trial Court Branch 74. The prosecutor chose to go for murder charges because of, quote, the presence of treachery, cruelty, and abuse of superior strength. Joseph did appeal that decision to the Secretary of Justice. It was denied. On February 23rd of 2015, Joseph was taken to court in Alangapo, and on his behalf, the court announced a plea of not guilty. The pretrial began February 27th of 2015. The murder trial began on March 16th. Under the Visiting Forces Agreement, which is also known as the VFA, the local courts have 1 year to carry out any legal actions. Joseph confessed, but he said he started to strangle Jennifer when he found out she was in fact transgender. Joseph also told a witness this very same excuse. He used what is called as the, quote, gay panic defense. So, for anyone who may not know what the gay panic defense is, it's a legal strategy in which a defendant claims they acted in a state of violent, temporary insanity, committing assault or murder because of unwanted same-sex sexual advances. A defendant may allege to have found the same-sex sexual advances so offensive or frightening that they were provoked into reacting, were acting in self-defense, were of diminished capacity, or were temporarily insane, and that this circumstance is mitigating. A manifestation of homophobia and transphobia, trans panic, is a closely related defense applied in cases of assault, manslaughter, or murder of a transgender individual, with whom the assailants engaged in sexual relations unaware that the victim is transgender until seeing them naked or further into or after sexual activity. Broadly, the defenses may be called the Gay and Trans Panic Defense or the LGBTQ plus Panic Defense. They are typically used by heterosexual cisgender men against gay men and trans women. The U.S. military put off the court hearing as long as they possibly could. When Joseph finally did go to trial in 2015, Jennifer's loving family had to sit through this god-awful trial that smeared their daughter's name, dehumanized her, and the cruelty that was exhibited throughout. When the trial was finally over, Joseph Pemberton was convicted and sentenced for homicide, which is not as high of a charge as murder is. They couldn't charge him for murder because there was no evidence of cruelty and or treachery, which just makes me scratch my head. And his sentence? Only 10 years in prison. On top of that light sentence for murder, let's call a thing here, he didn't even have to serve time in a Philippines prison. A defense pact that the U.S. and the Philippines has with each other allowed Joseph to serve his time at a U.S. military base instead. In September of 2020, he had only served 5 years and he was given a quote, absolute pardon by Rodrigo Duterte, the president of the Philippines, for good conduct, which is part of the Visiting Forces Agreement, which is the pact between the U.S. and the Philippines that allows much shorter jail time for good conduct. Also, this agreement was authorized back in 1988. It gives U.S. military aircraft and vessels free entrance into the Philippines. The VFA lowers visa restrictions for U.S. military personnel. It does give the Philippines prime authority over U.S. military personnel indicted of crimes in the country, unless those crimes include other U.S. troops. Joseph Pemberton wasn't in a prison around other inmates. He was by himself, so of course he wouldn't have many options to not exhibit good behavior. Joseph said he was extremely grateful to Duterte and gave his quote, most sincere sympathy to Jennifer Lauday's family. He went on to say he spent so much time thinking about the many errors he made and wished he had the words to express how deeply sorry he was and how much he regrets what he did. He was 25 years old when he was taken in handcuffs just a few months ago in 2020 from his cell to the airport where he flew back to the U.S. on a military plane. Joseph was put on an immigration blacklist, and he was forbidden to ever go back to the country. Sourcing from counterpunch.org, I want to read this one part of this article to you, and it says, "Over the last few decades, the Philippines has become fertile ground for the ruthless economic predation of multinational corporations. And as is the case in the entire global South, they demand militarized protection for their, quote, economic assets and geopolitical interests. In the decades following World War II, the Philippines has hosted a long list of presidents and politicians who may pay lip service to anti-imperialism, but who eventually bow to Washington and Wall Street. Despite his hyper-masculine bravado or his speeches decrying American imperialism or his demands for the U.S. military to leave or stay out of the Philippines, Rodrigo Duterte is no different than his predecessors in this regard. He may come from the south of the country, from a place that knows the barbarism of American occupation intimately, but he also comes from an elite political class. a class which has benefited greatly from American capitalist exploitation of the land and the working class of the Philippines, and his brutal policies of state violence against the poor and the marginalized under the deceptive logo of the War on Drugs has taken tens of thousands of lives. Duterte aligns neatly with the politics of Donald Trump and echoes other far-right, quote, strong men. Again, that's from counterpunch.org. The Visiting Forces Agreement could have been abolished in August of 2020 if Duterte would not have postponed the choice to cease the deal after President Donald Trump voiced how he was ready to help the Philippines deal with the COVID-19 pandemic. Duterte has said his country can survive without America. If the Visiting Forces Agreement had been done away with, it would have gotten rid of the legal foundation for Joseph Pemberton to spend his sentencing on the military base. There would have been an extreme push for him to be transferred to one of the country's infamous, overcrowded, and high-risk prisons. Because of the history between the U.S. and the Philippines, people living there know that people will continue to get away with the crimes and murders against their people. They feel like their lives can be thrown away because of the Duterte government and the U.S. military. The majority of these people live in fear, and understandably so. The fact that Joseph Pemberton is living his life as a free man is a disgrace. From everything I've researched, all of this boils down to political agendas and the relations between the U.S. and the Philippines. The president of the National Union of People's Lawyers said the pardon was unbelievable, saying to CNN Philippines, quote, "What makes it even more atrocious is that his entitlements and liberty were apparently politically bartered through an onerous military agreement. What cheap price, sovereignty, and national dignity," end quote. Jennifer's sister said, quote, "Just because you're gay, you'll get killed? We could have accepted it if she were beaten up. Something could have been done, and she would still be with us. How can something be done now when she's dead?" End quote. I know this wasn't the longest episode, but I thought that it was extremely important to cover. This has got to stop. And I thank you so much for listening today. Be safe, be cautious, be aware of your surroundings at all times. Don't be so trusting of other people, please. And until next time, I love you.